What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The wait is finally over, Jason. All the speculation. When are the Ravens going to play the Bills? When are they heading to Kansas City? How many primetime games? It's over, Jason.
Thank
we have
God.
The actual schedule. And boy, is it a tough open for the Ravens. For a second consecutive year, they head on the road in week one to take on the team that bounced them in the playoffs. So they're heading to Buffalo. Then week two, interesting storyline we didn't touch on the open. Potentially Joe Flacco. Starting at M&T Bank Stadium for the first time, since he left the Ravens. Then they take on the Lions, which was one of the top teams in the NFC last year, at Kansas City, home against Houston, who won their division, home against the Rams, who won their division. So for the first six games, man, or really five of the first six games against tough competition.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's different ways you can size it up. What I generally focus on is what we already knew. Which other divisions do they match up with, right? Okay, they match up with the AFC East. They match up with the NFC North. The AFC East, for me, is still a garbage division outside of Buffalo. And the NFC North, I think, could be the division that regresses the most. Because Minnesota's going from whatever you thought of Sam Darnold, he was an MVP candidate up until the final week of the season, and they won as many regular season games as anybody next year, and now they're going with an unproven rookie who was not asked to do, was not exactly asked to carry a heavy burden every week by Michigan, right? It was about the offensive line, and it was about the run game and the defense. So that could be major regression. The Lions lost their most important coaches on both sides of the ball. And they did not go out and do anything bold for a pass rusher or make any real penthouse moves in the offseason. And I think the Bears are still a year away, and Ben Johnson's going to have to learn what it is to be a head coach, and I think the hype train on them is over its skis. So I bring that all up to say, as I really look at this schedule, for me, there's five opponents that I think are absolutely playoff teams unless they get riddled by injury. Buffalo, Kansas City, Houston, because that division sucks.
Terrible.
And even if they're not that great, they're going to win that division.
Yep.
The Rams, to me, are the best team in their division. And I think Green Bay, of the teams in the North, the one I think is going to make the leap is Green Bay. So those, for me, okay, for me, they're playing five surefire playoff teams. And then Detroit, Minnesota, Cincinnati, I'll put them in a separate cluster of maybe – And
Pittsburgh's always tough when they go up against them.
What's that?
I said Pittsburgh's always tough.
Yeah, and then I'm going to put Pittsburgh in probably the bottom end of that second tier where I think they would really need some breaks, but they're Pittsburgh and they're cockroaches and it's Tomlin. So that at most is half the schedule. So if you win six or seven of the nine against the other half, and you hold serve against this half, you're absolutely in the playoffs, and you're flirting with 12 wins, which is where I think they're going to be.
If you can make it through the first six games with a 4-2 record, that's watch out at that point. And we're obviously talking so much about the opponents and the talent that some of these rosters have, but the Ravens are a really damn good football team.
Absolutely.
And we've seen them last year. They had a really tough schedule. 2023, remember after the bye week, you're like, oh, my gosh, how are they going to run through this gauntlet? And they just kicked the heck out of everybody. So they've been able to work through tough schedules and tough teams, and they typically – those type of games typically bring the best out of the Ravens.
When Lamar Jackson plays in the regular season, they win over 70% of their games.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, that's the starting point. That's why I don't get caught up in the minutiae of the schedule. That's why I'm not going to sit here and wait breathlessly for these stupid announcements. Frankly, Bone, I don't know about you, that's why I'm not watching 8 or 9 or 10 minutes that any team put into the production of their schedule. I don't care how great it is. You can tell me it's the most amazing, life-changing thing. I can't sit there
the
and
Ravens
watch
was nuts.
7 to 10 minutes about something that I already pretty much know before it goes in. Like, I can't get there. And especially for this team, again, knowing what they do with Lamar Jackson, already knowing who the opponents are and who's home and who's road, I just didn't think it was going to affect me much one way or the other. I didn't think it was going to affect my evaluation of their overall sort of pecking order, where they stand, that much. And in the end, it didn't. Yes, it opens tough. It closes kind of tough. There's an underbelly in the middle. And unfortunately for them, that underbelly includes three straight road games. But they don't generally blow more than 1-2 games max that they should win. And they generally win 1 or 2 games that you don't think they're going to win at the start of the season, like going to San Francisco a year ago. Like, or not in the 2024 season, 2023 season.
Yeah, yeah.
And like most things with this franchise, we kind of know who they are. We know what they're about. We know what their brand is. We know what their regular season output is going to be. It's going to be an elite offense. We're going to see how much closer to the 2023 version or the 2024 version this defense is. I hope it's closer to 2023. They've got major questions on special teams. There's a bad special teams unit. We'll talk about that a little later. The punter, don't really know about him. Kicker, don't really know about him. Return guy, don't really know about him. And the return units and the coverage units sucked for the most part last year, too. So a lot of work to be done there. And that's the kind of stuff that can cost you one of those games you should have won on paper. But, like, that's who they are, and that's who they were last year, and that's probably who they'll be next year.
Absolutely. And a couple other quirks. You mentioned the three straight road games. The Ravens are one of just three teams that go on the road three straight weeks, them, the Patriots, and the Titans. But what's interesting about the three-game road trip, it's sandwiched in between three straight home games, and then the other side of it, three straight home games, where you just do not see that at all. Primetime games, you got the Bills to open up on Sunday Night Football, Lions on Monday Night Football, very, very rare home Monday Night Football game, just the fifth time in the John Harbaugh era going back to 2008. You have the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football, and the NFL loves the Ravens playing on holidays. They played on Christmas two straight years, and now this year they're playing the Bengals on Thanksgiving night. That's their first Thanksgiving Day game since, I believe, the Tomlin trying
yes,
to trip
Jacoby
Jones.
The other thing that kind of grinds my gears a little bit is people are going to compare, oh, well, they only got four primetime games. First of all, those are weird weeks to begin with. Why do you, you know what I mean? How many primetime games do you want? Because a lot of times it's going to affect your preparation. It's going to affect the following week. It compromises your routine. And these are creatures of habit. And then the other part of that sort of, I'm like, have you not paid attention to this league? They stacked a lot of their more interesting games at the end of the year, and they could be
Green Bay's getting flexed.
Green Bay's getting flexed.
That's one of those.
And if the Pittsburgh game matters, it's either team, it's being flexed. So, like,
maybe even
so
the second.
If it gets to six, is that going to satisfy you? Like, I just, it's like all this stuff is written in pencil, not Sharpie. Especially, like, they're even flexing Thursday games now. Like, they'll flex anything, anywhere. They don't care. For more money, they'll do it. So I just don't understand people like bitching and moaning about, well, they got disrespected. A, four is more than enough. It's basically a quarter of the schedule. And B, if they're who we think they're going to be and these other teams are, it's going to be more than four.
Chiefs, they ended up getting the most with seven. I saw they only play in the 1 o'clock window three times this year.
Like, that's I don't think, like, if from a competitive standpoint, I doubt Andy Reid loves that.
No.
I doubt Andy Reid's running through the office high-fiving everybody. We're only playing 3 1 o'clock games. No, I don't think that's.
And not to mention going back to last year when they had, I believe, at least five primetime. They had that weird window where they're playing on Christmas on a Wednesday and then a Saturday. Like, they played on pretty much every single day of the week, where this year it seems a lot more streamlined in that regard.
Yeah, and I mean, this is only going to get more jacked up as they keep adding more games overseas. Like, there's eventually going to be, if they get to the 18-week schedule, weeks 1 and 2 might be just domestic football, and weeks 17 and 18 might just be domestic football. The 14 weeks in between, somebody's playing outside the continental U.S. every week.
Well, we touched on this yesterday, I think, when they announced the international slate 2 days ago. The fact that the Vikings are playing in two different countries abroad in back-to-back weeks is crazy. That's the first time that's ever happened.
Wait until it's 1 week in London and the next week in Dubai. Like, at least it's both. What is it? It's Dublin and London.
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's nothing.
But still,
wait till it's Brazil, and then China.
It's definitely everything's on the table. You mentioned Jordan Stout, and we're going to get into him at the bottom of the hour. He's entering a contract here. He was a fourth round pick, and just going back and looking at his stats year over year. Really caught me off guard. We'll give you those numbers at 3:30. But coming up next, we've already broken down the Ravens schedule. What about the rest of the AFC North? What other team has a gauntlet they have to run through? We'll tell you next on the.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Fan. The Ravens. The Ravens have the third lowest amount of miles that they have to travel this season, Jason. The Bengals have a league low, just 8,753 miles, nearly 2,000 miles fewer than the next ranked, which is the Bills. What were some of your initial takeaways with Cincy's schedule?
Well, with Cincy, you want to look early, right? Because they come in every year, and September is really extended training camp. It's around the league. People aren't ready to go, but they generally don't show up until around Halloween. So the first 2 weeks is a soft open, but this stretch caught my eye. From week three, they go at Minnesota, at Denver, Detroit at home, at Green Bay, Pittsburgh comes to them. Like, could they lose three of those games? Could they lose four of those games? Like, that's going to be a test for their, you know, for them, especially on defense. When you're talking about Minnesota in that dome, Denver, like, look, that was a big boy offense with Bo Nix the second half of last year. Detroit, Green Bay, like, that's going to test them. And then they've got, you know, a week 10 bye. And then Bone, this stretch at Pittsburgh, New England comes to them, at Baltimore, at Buffalo, and then Baltimore comes to them. Like,
that's as brutal a 3 week stretch. I mean, Ravens twice and at Buffalo in between.
Jeez. That's a gauntlet. That's going to be a hell of a way to come out of a bye.
Something that is in their favor is they have a soft ending to the schedule. At Miami, Arizona at home, Cleveland at home. And I know Cleveland's giving them fits, Joe Burrow fits, and they open the season with them. But those are three winnable games if they're in the mix come week 16.
Well, look, what Cincinnati can't do is, you know, lose to Jacoby Brissett and the New England Patriots in week one. Like that happened last year, and that ended up really ultimately being the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. They don't have that sort of margin. And you know, week three at Minnesota, is Trey Hendrickson playing in that game? I mean, if he's not, good luck, you know, at Denver the following week without Trey Hendrickson. Like, could they lose that game 42-41 in Denver? I certainly think they can. That time of year, hot, you got the altitude plus heat. That can be a big deal. I in the modern game, Bone, I if you can't stop the, we saw it with the Ravens. You can't stop the ball in flight in the air, you're going to have a hell of a time winning more games than you lose. Don't care how many $50 million, $40 million players you have on offense.
Your margin of error is just so slim. And that Bengals offense has to be, they have to put up 35 points just to win games. And there were multiple times, even against the Ravens, where they put up 35
points.
Not
enough.
And it still wasn't enough. Going to the Steelers, we know Aaron Rodgers is not their starting quarterback, but clearly the schedule makers envision Aaron Rodgers wearing the black and gold. They open the season at the Jets.
How about that?
And how about this, Jason? In week eight, they host the Packers on Sunday Night Football.
Look, the Steelers' schedule last year was pretty brutal. People wondered, you know, would they make it to their bye week in one piece? Yada, yada, yada. I think it sets up pretty well for them, Bone. Like, the Jets, the Seahawks, the Patriots, they get Minnesota coming to them with a rookie quarterback against Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. I like their chances. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Mike Tomlin's defense has fared pretty well against Cincinnati. Like, there's a chance, whatever you think of Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph, like, I think there's a real chance that Pittsburgh's sitting there at 4-2, something like that, with a whole lot of life in the middle of the schedule.
It's certainly possible. One disadvantage, them having the earliest bye week.
Week five
is not, that's not ideal. But they have, you look, they play Buffalo and the Ravens in back-to-back weeks at one point, and then a couple weeks later at Detroit. They're finished to the schedule, really week 13, week 11 on, is tough, and that's similar to what they had last year, where they got off to the hot start because it was a soft beginning, and then they struggled down the stretch, losing five straight.
Yeah, look, I have a hard time thinking that they're not going to be playing meaningful football games when they face the Ravens twice late in the year. Like, will they slip up and lose to somebody they shouldn't? Absolutely. That, much like the Ravens, that tends to be a thing with them. I think Mike Tomlin knows he has to fix that defense. I think Mike Tomlin's going to be very hands-on with that defense. And I think the first-round pick can solidify their defensive line from day one and take some things off of Cam Hayward's plate and do a little less as more with him. If they can get Watt and Fitzpatrick to be Watt and Fitzpatrick, then I got news for you. I know you want to write them off. I know Gigi wants to write them off. You know I never write them off.
You never do.
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are still a playoff team in the AFC. I don't care who the quarterback is. If I'm putting money on the Steelers, I'd prefer the stability of Mason Rudolph to the wild oscillation and all the BS that comes with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, what happens at this point? The schedule makers, they're envisioning Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. That's no secret there.
They are, and it probably happens. But, I mean, again, if you wait too long, you risk getting yourself in some trouble here with this guy not really knowing the system and not being fully mentally engaged and not buying in with his teammates or having his teammates buy in with him. I do think they need to put some guardrails up there and act like adults and say, if you want to be here, here's your cutoff point. And that cutoff point is not 3 days before the start of training camp. What kind of shape is he going to be in? Like, no. I need to get eyes on this guy. I need him in my building. You can't be walking the earth like Kung Fu. You can't be in the jungles of the Amazon snorting whatever. No. You need to be in my facility.
And let's end with the Browns. And we talk about the Ravens having a tough start to the season. How about the Browns,
The Browns are done by the middle of the year. Like,
Cincinnati at Baltimore, Green Bay at Detroit, Minnesota at Pittsburgh in the first 6 weeks.
I'm not even sure they beat Miami. Like, they might, their first win might be at New England week eight. They're done. That week nine bye, like, they might be mathematically eliminated by their bye. Like, it's just, I mean, I don't think we're going to spend a whole lot of time talking about the Cleveland Browns on this show, or more specifically in this Northern Exposure segment, because I think they're going to be such an afterthought and such a joke. But, like, yeah, that's murder is real. Is Joe Flacco even still going to be upright to face the Jets week 10? I don't think his reunion tour is going to be that long.
Well, Jason, to your point, they have a week 9 bye. Maybe they have a win 2 max. At that point after the bye, is that when you make a change and you go to a
Super Bowl? I think it might be before then, because I don't think he's going to – like, I mean – I don't know, dude. Like, facing that lion, like Hutchinson and those guys in Detroit where it's loud, and then going to London to face the Vikings and getting the blitz to death by that D coordinator, and then coming home at Pittsburgh. I think the Flacco thing's done by week 5, week 6 at the latest. Like, week 2 coming here? Probably. After that, I don't know, Bone. All bets are off. Flacco might be waving the white flag.
Very, 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 very early. We know that all of these teams are going to continue to make moves between now and week 1, but we have the schedule. We're past the draft. Now that you know when and where these teams are going to play, how would you stack this division today?
Didn't change anything for me.
Yeah.
I would go Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland.
I'd probably go Cincinnati too, but we'll see. If they get off to another slow start, geez, who knows. At 3:45, Braxton Bragg, Chesapeake Bay Sox starting pitcher, is going to be joining us. We are live at Prince George's Stadium. We'll continue to get talk baseball And also, Orioles, that game is final. They got swept by the Twins. They lost the series finale 4-0. Offense mustered 6 hits, and they had the same amount of hits with runners in scoring position as you and I combined, Jason. But coming up next, we're going to continue the Ravens talk, the football talk. Jordan Stout entering a contract here. He was one of those fourth-round picks, the 6 fourth-round picks that Eric DaCosta had at his disposal in 2022. How concerned are you about Stout being the starting punter this year? You look at his numbers throughout his career, they're eh. We'll get into Stout next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Kickoff return is different than punt return. Eric and I talk about this a lot. You know, you can find kickoff returners. Running backs seem to be really valuable in this new return game thing. And we have really good running backs who are, you know, we have three guys that are really good at it as running backs. And so I'm pretty excited about those guys going forward. Punt return is a whole different thing. You know, how many guys have done both? I had Brian Westbrook was able to do both. James Thrash was only a kick returner. The guys who have been here over the years have been kind of like that. Some have been both. Some have been more punt return oriented. But We need to get settled at punt returner. You know, that's a huge role on the team. Whether it's one of the guys here right now or someone that we are able to bring in, that's an important position for us. I think you're making a good point.
That was John Harbaugh earlier this offseason, and the Ravens did end up drafting a returner in LaJonte Wester. But I remember being at the Liars Luncheon and asking Eric DaCosta about the importance of getting returnability, and John jumped the answer. He said, yes, I would love to see that happen. But before we get back into the returners, what about the punter, Jason? How much pressure is Jordan Stout under in a contract year? Because he hasn't really delivered in the way that Eric DaCosta probably would have thought selecting him with a fourth round pick.
You draft a punter, you think he's going to be someone who makes your team better. You're not doing it because you just need a punter, a replacement level punter. You're doing it because you see inherent value in there and you think he's going to elevate your special teams units. Their special teams units have been bad the last few years. Last year was a real nadir. You look at their overall special teams efficiency, only San Francisco was worse in the NFL. Their specialists were not particularly good. They didn't even have a return guy that you could even hang your hat on and say you wanted him back there 2 or 3 weeks in a row. The kicker was his own story, and the punter was bad. Jordan Stout last year was 27th in yards per punt, 22nd in net yards per punt, 23rd in percentage of punts inside the 20, and 24th in percentage of punts inside the 10. He was a part of the reason that those return, some of those coverage units were not nearly as good as they should be. And I think bringing a veteran punter in here wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Not that he's not already feeling pressure, and not that he is sitting there knowing he's got a second contract here, because that's far from certain. But I think there's now a 3-year body of work where you could say, not only is this not like okay, let alone good, it's markedly bad. From 2022 to 2024, Jordan Stout's 26th in percentage of punts inside the 10. He is 11th in percentage inside the 20. But Bone, 32nd in net yard per punt and 25th in yards per punt. Like, yeah, that's problematic. And when we're talking about a team that thinks it's built an elite roster, and it probably has, barring injury, then you start to come up with, well, where are the margins not where they should be? Where are we? How are we finding ways to lose games? Well, if we're losing the battle of field position, if other teams have specialists who are doing things to flip the field for them, to make their other parts of their special teams better, and ours is not, like, if the roster's so great and you're like, well, where could it get better? Special teams is definitely an area it could get better.
Without question. And this isn't just using a draft pick on a punter. It was a fourth-round pick. That's a mid-round pick on a punter that you're expecting with that pick for him to be an upper echelon type guy. But he just has not delivered in that way at all. And I'm with you, Jason, where I think they should bring in some competition. And look, I think part of it, we were spoiled for so long with it, with the Wolfpack, Tucker at the height of his power. But Sam Cook was a damn good punter, a damn good holder that the Ravens had, and he's been sorely missed.
Well, and that's the other part of it, is remember that part of the reason that they sold the Jordan Stout pick where they did is we think he's best of breed. There is an importance in this. We know what it's like to have an elite punter. Yes. And what that means to us. Our head coach is a former special teams coach. We have more special teams coaches than anybody else in the league, so we can make them better. Oh, yeah. And one of our new special teams coaches is that punter, Sam Cook, who literally just finished doing the job and is transitioning into this new role. And he's going to be able to guide Jordan Stout, and Jordan Stout's going to have infrastructure and creature comforts that no other punter in the league has. And all that's true, but the reality is, I just gave you the numbers. Yeah. Jordan Stout has not even been league average.
32nd in net yards per punt.
Over a three-year span.
That's completely unacceptable. That's dead last. There's 32 teams.
Now, some teams have more than one punter because
more than one qualified
over that period of time. But you make a move like this, and it's about we have reached a certain level with our specialist, and we're going to go above and beyond to maintain it.
I think it's very fair to question the state of the special teams unit as a whole. Is there some upside? Sure. And we know how bad Justin Tucker was for them last year. But you have a rookie kicker who's a complete unknown at the NFL level in Tyler Loop. Hey, we're Looper fans here. We're rooting for
Big Looper.
Jason just gave you the numbers of Jordan Stout. We know what he is entering year four. You're going to have a rookie punt returner that did really well during his college career, but again, an unknown at the NFL level. So I think, and you saw a lot of special teamers like a Malik Harris and a Chris Board leave this offseason. So special teams is going to be something that we'll be monitoring.
Very close eye on.
Yeah.
And again, if it's already a weakness, right? Again, overall special teams efficiency, second worst in the NFL. And now you're going into it with a punter who hasn't even been mid, who you don't necessarily think is going to get a second contract here, a completely unproven kicker, whomever it is, mm-hmm. whether it's Looper or somebody beats him out, or maybe you eventually get somebody off the street, but that's going to be a third or fourth option, right? Because if you thought that person was better than Looper coming in, you'd have brought him in. and a return guy who's never done it at this level. That's and one of your special teams coaches left. So
yes,
like
Sam Cook.
I feel like that's kind of a lot. Like I the fact that none of those guys is necessarily established for a team that puts such a premium on special teams and for a team where you could say what part of the roster has weaknesses. Oh, well, special teams is not a great special teams roster. And now it's markedly less experienced than it's been before.
Way less experienced. Now, with that inexperience, there could be some upside. We will see these guys at the NFL level, of course. We're broadcasting live from Prince George's Stadium. Chesapeake Bay Sox, they're in town through the weekend. Tonight, happy hour, live music, $2 beers, Jason, from 5 to 6:30 before a 6:35 start against Akron. First 1,000 kids get a glow stick tomorrow as we have a post-game glow stick dance party. Get down with it. That starts at 7:05. Fireworks follow the game Saturday. That's a 6:35 start. And Sunday, bring the dog out for our Bark in the Park. Start time is at 1:05.
GG, Meaty, and Chopper. Can
yes.
I bring all three?
Yes.
It's probably not. It's probably frowned upon.
Gosh, yeah.
If I bring three dogs here, that's probably they'll probably throw me out.
Zoe, there'd be way too much going on. She'd lose her mind. She'd be way too much stimulation going on. Coming up next, though, Braxton Bragg, Bay Sox starting pitcher. He was in Aberdeen just for a couple starts and then got the call-up. What were his thoughts on that? We'll get Braxton on with us next on The Fan. We're live from Prince George's Stadium ahead of the Chesapeake Bay Sox taking on Akron. First pitch is at 6:35. We were joined by catcher Creed Willems earlier in the show, and now we're joined by starting pitcher Braxton Bragg. And, Braxton, you spent all of last year in Delmarva. You got all of three starts in Aberdeen, and now you're in Double A. What's it been like getting that quick of a promotion, which is not typical in this organization?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. You know, I'm very grateful to be in the situation I'm in. You know, I think a lot of it was just hard work and, you know, just being where my feet are. And, you know, when I was in Aberdeen, you know, I wasn't really thinking too much about anything other than where I was at, you know, and I had a good start to the season, and then here I am. And so, yeah, very grateful.
Everybody's journey is a little different, and you went from being a reliever at Nebraska to getting stretched out at Dallas Baptist sort of late in your college career and then coming to this organization and then keeping you in this starter's role. What was that sort of progression like, and was part of the reason you left Nebraska that you wanted to get an opportunity to be in a rotation? Or
yeah, no, I really cherish my time at Nebraska. I just wanted to change, and so you know, I decided to enter the portal, and, you know, Dallas Baptist was the place for me. You know, they recruited me, and, you know, right after they offered me, I committed the next day. So, you know, going in there, I had no expectations of being a starter.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to go play, you know, and I wanted to, you know, finish my degree and grow more spiritually. And so that was the place for me. And then, you know, I ended up becoming a starter there. You know, I was a Friday night guy for half the year, and then, you know, that was awesome. That was a great honor. So, you know, being able to learn from that whole year and then transfer that to pro ball, you know, I had a good understanding of how to start. And yeah, and so that's kind of how it worked.
But if you didn't do that, do you think you go in the eighth round? You know what I mean? Like, do you think your pro career is on a different trajectory if you didn't get the opportunity to start?
Yeah, for sure. I think being a starter definitely helps, you know, you in the draft process. And so, you know, Dallas Baptist has a very good, you know, resume.
Yep.
And so being the Friday night guy at Dallas Baptist was definitely a huge help, you know, to get me to where I am. So
we're speaking to Braxton Bragg, Chesapeake Bay Sox starting pitcher. It's Inside Access on The Fan. Well, Braxton, I always like talking to pitchers in this organization because we hear, especially going from college to this organization, the pitching incubator, what has it been like just working with all the numbers, the analytics, and how has that helped you?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, I didn't know a whole lot about analytics until I got to pro ball. I learned a little bit at Dallas Baptist, but, you know, it's very analytical here. And, you know, learning, you know, all the things I've learned has been great. And I think it's helped me out for sure, you know, in my career so far. Yeah, they have a good wrap around their, you know, minds on how to, you know, develop us analytically and then, you know, mechanically as well. And, yeah, so.
you've made some significant velo gains, and I guess there's always this sort of balance, right? Like, how much is too much, and when is enough's enough? How much of that process was you in the off seasons just kind of doing things? How much of it was things that the organization said, hey, we'd like you to try X, Y, and Z? What's that process like?
Yeah, no, for sure. Coming into Pro Bowl, I was like 205, 210. Last year I stayed around 210. I ticked up a lot from, college to last year, that whole season. I think I went from like 91 to averaging like 93, 94 at the end of the year in Delmarva. And so that was already a big jump, which I had a lot of help, getting me some right drills. And, I feel like I worked really hard in the off seasons. And then this last off season, I just kind of said, screw it, I'm just going to gain weight. And so I got up to like 225. So I gained like 10, 15 pounds this off season. And then with that and on top of training, it just kind of translated. And, I was in the off season, I was already up to like 96, 97. And so I was like, well, this is pretty cool. And so so I was just, learning how to maintain it, keeping care of my body. And then I got here in spring training and I started keeping that velo and throwing harder. So,
You've also incorporated a kick changeup this year. How much of a boost has that been, adding that to your repertoire?
Yeah, no, it's been a great pitch for me, because it helps me, have something, that has depth and that goes, the other way, which helps me against lefties a lot. And I love throwing it against righties too. I've had a lot of success against righties with it too. It was a crazy pitch to learn at first. I did not like it. I mean, I would have hit every right-handed hitter I faced if I had to get in there when I first started throwing it. But, I just kind of like said, all right, I got to work on it. And so this whole offseason, I was just focused on it. So technically, it's kind of a new pitch that I've started learning, but I already feel like I'm, becoming close to mastering it. And, that's, it's really helpful. So
what is that process like? Do they just towards the end of last year, do they start in your bullpens having you incorporated? Is there a video component for you to watch? Are you playing around with grips? How do you go from, hey, we want you to think about getting something going here, to having it become a part of your arsenal?
Yeah, no. Towards the end of the year, we started working on it, messing around with splitters and kick changes and stuff. And, I just kind of decided I was going to go with the kick change and I was going to work on it. And, that's pretty much how it happened. Just at the end of the year, they're just like, hey, we want you to work on this so you can get some depth and have more success against lefties. And I was like, all right, sounds good. So, yeah.
Do you pay attention at all to any of the pub that you've been getting, like Baseball America talking about? We have on prospect guys all the time, and they sing your praises. Do you pay attention to any of that at all? Or
not really. No. I've always tried to stay humble when it comes to that stuff. And, I haven't really looked at anything, but, I've heard I've been getting some, good pub so far, so I'll take that better than bad pub. But, I just try and stay focused on – what I'm working on, try not to look too much outside, and, just continue to try and get better.
I was a little surprised that you didn't get a bump from Delmarva last year. Did you have any sense that this stint in Aberdeen could be really short? Like, you might not even need an apartment kind of like short, or did you have, any sort of sense that you'd spend so little time at high A and get here so quickly?
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I was just focused on getting better over the whole course of the off season spring training. And I was just going to be where my feet are. And that's something I try to, continue doing. Like right now, I'm just trying to be where my feet are. I can't control a lot of things. In Aberdeen, I was just trying to get better. And then, I just had a lot of success, and, I don't know what, internal conversations
sure.
are. I don't know if they have an idea of me getting here in 3 weeks. I don't know. But, I always just try and stay where my feet are and just get better. So
he's Chesapeake Bay Sox starting pitcher Braxton Bragg. If you're interested in seeing him pitch, he is starting Sunday.
Bring in dogs.
It's Bark in the Park, which is awesome, too. You'll have a bunch of dogs cheering
Braxton's
on as well, Braxton.
Dog Mike will be watching on the MILB app from Kansas City.
Yes, that'll definitely be happening. Braxton, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Yep. Coming up next, we're going to go up a couple of levels, and we're going to recap the Orioles series against the Twins, in which they got swept 4-0. Also, preview tomorrow's series, Nats coming to town. That's next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.